I'm Heather Kaplan, and you're listening to the Lane Nine Project podcast. And a quick disclaimer, I'm talking to my friend Mary Johnson today, and Mary and I are both coaches, but we're not your coaches. So the content of this episode is intended for conversation and awareness. It's not meant to replace individual healthcare, coaching, or therapy. Talk to your providers or your team before making any changes. All right, that's my spiel. Mary, hi.
Hi, it's nice to see you. It's nice to chat.
Yeah, we're gonna have to be like very diligent here because we don't, this could be a 2-hour podcast quite easily, but we got to get on with our days and get our runs in before, or I need to get my run in before I go pick up my kids. So,
I have to run too. I only lifted this morning. So, yes.
okay. So, not a morning run day for you. Definitely not a morning run day for me.
Well, it's that time of year where it's starting to get nice here. So,
Okay.
it's either the morning is like 30 degrees, which is I don't love, or it's like
Yeah.
50, 60, and I'm as sunny and beautiful. So I'm like, yeah, I definitely will push it for that.
Yeah, you gotta go later. Give us just a really quick intro as to who you are and what you do for work, and we'll go from there.
So yes, hello. I'm Mary. I am a running coach. I own Lift and Perform. Lift and Perform is a running coaching business. We serve people all over the world. We also provide strength training, group coaching, a myriad of support for athletes. And I am a mom of two. I run myself. Yeah, those are the highlights.
Those are the things. Okay. Mary and I have been working together for a lot of years. I was pregnant with Casey when we met, so 7 years. Can you believe that? Both as like we've worked together. Oh, Banana's joining us. We worked together professionally. I used to do some nutrition stuff for Lift and Perform, right as we were getting Lane Nine off the ground. And you've been my coach for 5.5 years. I have to pause because Banana brought me a peanut butter jar.
I saw that.
The lid is on, and she's like, "Please open this for me. That's
Oh
so
my
polite. That's so like, here you go." She likes to leave
Oh.
it to her to lick when they're empty, but she's like very careful with them. It's really funny. All right, I guess that's what we have going on in the background today. I probably won't even edit that. Like, what's the point? I also just moved to my desk so that you can actually see what's behind me. It used to be like this way, so the wall was behind me, which was nice because it was less distracting. But this window hates me. Like, look how bright this is. And everyone's always like, "Is it really sunny out?" I'm like, "No, I live in Michigan." Like, it's just a window. I don't know why it's so bright. It is sunny today, but anyway, we've worked together for a long time. You have been my coach through all of my kids. So we started working together after I had Casey. And were you pregnant with Eli, or you were about to be pregnant with Eli?
About, I think.
Okay. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I want to run. And it feels like people just start running again. And that feels weird to me. So, like, somebody just tell me what to do and I'll feel better about it. So that was you. And it was great. Tell me how you approach bringing, I'm sure this has evolved a lot since we started working together, but tell me how you approach athletes who are postpartum and or coming back from a really long-term injury. Like, I remember you telling me, I'm going to treat this like it was an injury because you just haven't been running. So we're just going to build back as if we're building back from an injury. So tell me how you approach that for postpartum. And like, I don't know if you want to weave injury into that, because I know it can be different, but yeah.
Yeah, they're both similar because they're both traumatic. Like going through an injury and birthing a child are both traumatic things. And then also, ideally, somebody will have somebody like boots on the ground guiding them, whether, on the injury side, it's an actual physical therapist, or on the postpartum side, it's a pelvic floor physical therapist. So I think that's always my like very first answer or question is, are you working with a PT? I don't ever say this out loud until now. But I have like a little bit of like a okay, because I can only do so much virtually. And I rely on the people who can touch you and see you and give you an assessment. So it is a huge relief. I really encourage not just injured runners, but also postpartum people to have somebody give them an assessment. There is someone like right now, she just had her first baby. And I think every single time I talk to her, she's a long-term athlete of mine. And I'm like, did you call this person yet? Like, I really need you to follow up on that. And you know, it's difficult because unfortunately it's a privilege to go to pelvic floor PT, which is like a whole other can of worms. It should not be something that's so inaccessible, but
Yeah.
like it is, it's first of all, very difficult to find one for whatever reason. It's difficult to find a reliable one. And then yeah, it can be expensive. So it's 100% a luxury. But I will say if somebody has that luxury, has the ability to at least just like get the A-okay. That's different from the 6 week, like go have sex and do everything like that
Do whatever
conversation
you
with your,
want.
you can do
Yeah.
whatever you want. That unproductive OB conversation at 6 weeks postpartum, if there's actually somebody else who can do a formal assessment, it's a huge sigh of relief from me. The person that I just mentioned, who I'm still being like, please just get your hand, have someone get their hands on you. I actually sent her the battery of tests from that research piece that came out, I want to say in 2019 regarding postpartum running. And it was a series of exercises of just like, can you get back to any type of impact? I go through that with people. Again, am I a PT? Is that within my scope? No, but guiding somebody through a battery of tests that has, you know, clinically backed, I do feel confident in guiding someone from that
Yeah.
regard. And as long as that's all right, then we'll start slowly. I mean, truly, people kind of bash like walking, like Jane Fonda, like really like jazzercise walking, but like it makes a big difference. So that's honestly
Yeah.
where I'll start with somebody is just brisk walking, fitness walking.
Yeah. Yeah. And preferably not always walking with a baby strapped to you because that can be a bit of a strain on the pelvic floor if you're not being careful. I remember the first time we worked together thinking that you both started me more conservatively than I would have started myself, and you advanced me faster than I would have advanced myself. Like both of those things were true. I think I would have not done as much run walking, and I would have been a lot more conservative in like adding in speed work or like time than you were with me. And in a good way. Like I was very pleasantly surprised at what I was able to do in just a couple of weeks. And then, you know, with my second kid, it was totally different because I ended up being pregnant again. And then it took a long time to get back to running. But yeah, I just think that there is so much to say for having somebody in your corner who kind of can help you take on that process and not trying to figure it out alone if it's something that you have the resources to access in any way. And like even if those exercises like might be out of your scope as a coach, like recommending that to somebody is better than them doing literally nothing, which is what a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I think probably one of the biggest things that I've learned throughout the years of coaching is that everyone is going to have a different trajectory. It depends on the person, it depends on the birth, it depends on how many kids they've had or not. So like that too differs, and it's very synonymous with an injury. It's going to
Yeah.
be different for everyone. So I think that's an important thing to remember is like both ends, unfortunately. Like it could take longer than just a month or two of postpartum rehab. It could take 6 years more. Like it
Yeah.
truly having the child changes your body forever.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but everyone's journey back is going to be a lot different. And so yes, while that the research, the guidelines, while that was a great advancement in women's health, there's still a ton more work to be done. And as with all research, science is very important. However,
Yeah.
anecdotal evidence, anecdotal experiences need to be considered in conjunction with that research. And if somebody is having a contraindication to something that science says, like you have to listen to what's going
Yeah.
on both ends, you know, like, and I think there was a trend of people be like, well, you can't run until 12 weeks now postpartum. And sure, yes, perhaps
Yeah.
that might be best, but like there are other things that you can kind of consider. And it just depends on the person. So like, yes, 12 weeks is certainly probably pr more preferable than 6 weeks.
Six.
Yeah, but it does differ per person and per experience.
And I mean, 12 weeks is like no more magical a timeline than 6 weeks. Like, yes, it gives you a little bit more time to heal, but it's more about what's happening in that time frame and how you're feeling than like on the day feeling like you could just like, okay, well, now I can try walk running because it's been 12 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because I had a hip surgery in August of 2022, and the consideration of running wasn't even breathed upon br until 12 weeks. And it's just about tissues here. Like, it's literally about the timeline of how tissues heal. So, postpartum is no different. And again, any type of traumatic situation, surgery, baby having, there is technically a time period where tissues are going to create resiliency and heal. And in a surgical setting, obviously, I think it's probably a little bit. I mean, in that scenario, it's like, why bother risking? Both scenarios, honestly, like, it's at the end of the day, it's just another month. Like, why bother risking anything just to get out sooner? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and postpartum especially, it's probably a month where you're not sleeping a whole lot anyway. So there may be a something to be gained from like giving yourself a little bit more time.
Yeah, and not to mention like breastfeeding or not, but like the hormone shifts. I feel like we both are acquaintances and friends with Abby Bales, and I feel like she's a pelvic PT in New York City, and she's enlightened me a lot to just how impactful hormones are on the body and how it's feeling and how it's healing. And like, unfortunately, those are kind of like dismissed in the medical world. I mean, all the way up through like menopause, right? Like, perimenopausal women are just kind of ignored by the healthcare system. So like, I think that too, like the dramatic hormonal changes, which then also impact mental health. There's so many things that need to be taken into consideration. And I think, again, it's like, particularly with social media, you see the shiny stuff, the happy stuff, but like, there's so much beyond that, and there's really no rush, and you have to do what's right for you.
Another thing I really have appreciated about working with you through each pregnancy is how much you empathize and understand when things are just not going to happen. Like, not a single, and I think hopefully this is true of many coaches, but there's never been a time where I feel like I'll say, oh, we didn't sleep because so and so is ill, or like we were traveling and the kids were wild and it just didn't happen. And you're like, I get it. And I just don't feel like I have to explain everything, you know? Like, there is so much it impacts whether or not we're going to get to go for a run, or like it's going to happen, or it's going to happen the way we want it to. And it certainly took me a while as a first-time parent to, I don't know, come to terms with that, I guess. Like, especially for me with each baby, it felt like every month was different in terms of their routine and their norms and how long they slept and how long they napped and just like what I felt up for doing. And that's such a huge shift from when we train pre-kids and maybe have jobs and have hopefully lives outside of running, but like still more things are within our control in most cases. And then you enter parenthood and it's like your kids might be sick and then you might be sick and your kids might not be sleeping and then you're not sleeping and you might have to add some extra appointments or, you know, like daycare drop-off, somebody's sick. Like, I don't know. There's just so many different things that are impacting. And I sometimes, if I skip a run or I like don't do something on my schedule, I'm always like, okay, let me think through like how to succinctly explain this in my comment because like I don't want it to seem like I don't care about my schedule. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Like, Mary gets it. It doesn't matter. I just didn't get it in. And that's like really all I need to say.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to make running work with life, not life work with running. I think the extreme example is having kids and like truly not having dictation of your own schedule. But it doesn't matter who you are, you know, like you could be without kids, and like, at the end of the day, we aren't professional runners. We can't just take a nap in the middle of the day for the most part.
I
So
wish.
like, right. I mean, I feel like even mentally, like, when you work for yourself, like, I could, but I feel like I have so many things that I know that I need to do that I like mentally cannot calm. Like, I cannot take a nap because I have so much to do. So at the end of the day, like you don't need your coach, the person who is going to support you, not have empathy and understanding. And I have coached a myriad of peer people, and like there are, I truly believe in seasons of life, phases of training. Like it's not all going to be an on phase. It's not all going to be an on season. It's just not. Like if you even look at the pros, like they kind of cycle with how their training is, their ups and downs as well. So to think that you can just have perfect training all year round, it's not sustainable. And that's the biggest thing that I like to ask myself personally, and encourage people to ask themselves as well, is like, is what I'm doing sustainable? Are my sleeping habits sustainable? Are my training habits sustainable? Is my eating sustainable? Is my lifting, like all of those little things? Because if they're not sustainable, that's not desirable. Sure, there are loopholes here, like marathon training. Maybe not for everyone. Some people, I think they're constantly training for marathons, and for them that is sustainable. But I think ultimately, like our training and our lifestyle from a health and wellness perspective, it must be sustainable. Otherwise, the long-term ramifications are just not going to be there.
Right. Or it's like something that you do for a while and you convince yourself in some way, shape, or form that it is sustainable at the time. And then you kind of like dig yourself into a hole that takes a while to climb out of. And then you spend that time trying to climb out of this hole, wondering like, why can't I do this thing that I was doing before? Why can't I just do it all the time? And it's like, usually you have to have some clarity and hindsight and see that I was maybe pushing myself too hard or like trying to do too much, and that's why I can't keep doing it. So where is the middle ground? Like when I was working with clients one-on-one for nutrition, it was always like, well, I ate this way, maybe like a diet they were following or some sort of like training or, eating plan they were following that quote unquote worked for a while. And they're like, I just couldn't keep doing it. And I don't know why. And I'm like, I could offer a couple of suggestions. Like, if you look in hindsight and try not to see it with the rose-colored glasses, like, there's something about it that wasn't sustainable for you. And maybe it is for somebody else. I think that's the hard thing. I feel like Alexis and I have been parsing this out in a couple of conversations here that, like, with every iteration of social media and how it changes and how the apps evolve and how new apps are added, like we just have more and more and more information about somebody else, or so we think. And so, like, seeing somebody else always train for a marathon makes it seem like that is a thing that quote unquote should or could be sustainable for literally anybody. But we don't know why or how or even if it's sustainable for them. We just see them doing it, right?
Yeah, I've actually personally, it's not that I try to not share my training, but I'm very, very cognizant of the privilege I have and the ability to work for myself. Like, while I am very transparent and my goal is to always be honest, I also have the wherewithal to remember that, like N equals one, and not everyone remembers that. And like, I don't know. I can run whenever I want. Like I can stop this and go for a run because I needed to. I think that's the other thing too. I'm very aware of how lucky I am to do what I do, to create my own schedule. And that's really like when I left the fashion industry to start coaching, it was so I could run my own schedule. Now, there are not shiny parts of this, including me at 10 p.m. doing this exhausted, wanting to go to bed, which then like also isn't shared. But I think that's the takeaways. Social media is just, it is all very filtered. Even I would say, especially the extreme cases, is like you just have to remember everyone's in their own scenario, whether sustainable or not. No one's ever really going to admit if it's not sustainable, or you might learn about it after the fact if it's not sustainable. But as soon as that person admits that it wasn't sustainable, you're going to have one other person going through a cycle of unsustainability, and they're not going to admit it. So it's just like
Right.
one
Or
cycle after another.
you've already tried to start doing what they were doing in some way, whether you're like conscious of it or not. And then they might share why it wasn't sustainable. And you're like, oh, but I thought it was. So I'm trying it and it's not working for me either. And now I guess I'm seeing that. I don't know. It's just so hard. Like, I just feel like we are all in this weird like social experiment of like what social media does to us and how we respond to it. And like in our generation of folks in their like mid to late 30s, like we've been on social media since college, but then some people have been on it since middle school, and some people don't even know a world without social media, right? And so like we're all figuring out each year over year, like how it impacts us and what to do with it. And I feel like, you know, if we were to go back to where we started, like I wouldn't have found you without social media. I wouldn't have known about pelvic floor physical therapy. Nobody in my real life had ever said a word about it, to my knowledge. Like maybe they did, and I just didn't have anywhere to store that because I had no context for it, right? So like because of things that I see on social media, I feel like my postpartum and like general running experience has been defined by a lot of that. And it's just like this ever-present reminder that whatever I see is like such a small fraction of what somebody's doing. And to your point, like just because we do see it in real time and they are sharing it doesn't mean that it's like actually working for them. And even if it does, it doesn't mean it's going to work for me.
Yeah, it's a game. I mean, it's entertainment, you know, at the end of the
Yeah.
day, and it's addicting. I mean, what was it, that Netflix documentary about, like, I forget what it was
Social
called, but
dilemma. Is
yeah,
it?
well, there's a book,
Oh,
dang,
yeah.
there's a book
What was it
about
called?
addiction that the cover had like pink and shoot. Not even, I'm a horrible reader. I have raging ADHD, and the book was so interesting. It's actually not about social media. It's just about addiction in general, but it's really interesting. That's called dopamine. We'll look it up. We'll put it
Who
in the,
knows?
you know, but like it is, it's all a game. It's all an addiction, and we're figuring out what it means for each of us. It frustrates me to all hell, but then, like, to your point, there's some really great things that have come out of it, including meeting some incredible people and friends. And like I think about this all the time. I'm like, well, how funny is it that like the people that I relate to most are not in my zip code? You know, so
My zip code, yeah.
that's the beauty of social media, is that like I can be
Yeah.
unapologetically who I am and have people that I'm connected with and love them, and they live nowhere near me. And that's okay. That's the era that we're in. I don't have to feel weird. Gone are the days for me saying to my husband, I met this person on the internet, and feeling weird about it. Like, now I can
Because,
just
like,
be like,
obviously, that's where I meant.
but for a while, you know, back when it
Yeah.
was all starting, my Gabe would be like, how do you know this person? I'd be like, the internet. And like, even conversations with athletes, they'll be like, I know this about, I don't know, your cat. And I'd be like, yeah, I know, it comes with the territory. But people don't apologize anymore. They're like, oh, I saw this about your cat, or I saw this about whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I think the biggest reminder here is just like, it is a game. It isn't real. And you have to do what's right for you. You have to do what makes you happy. And boundaries are an important thing. And so if you're realizing you're feeling a certain way, no matter what, like, create the boundary, like, delete the app. There's an amazing app called Opal that literally blocks apps. Like, you cannot open apps. So, like, and it doesn't necessarily have to be social media. It could be, I have a bad habit of going into old pictures and like looking at my kids. And before I know it, I'm like 20 minutes in, and I'm like, why am I looking at baby pictures from 2019? What the hell am I doing? So, like, I have used Opal to like block photos. So, oh,
Wow.
it's amazing. I do think you have to pay. I think it's like, it's not cheap. I think it's like
Yeah.
80 or $100 for a year, but like the whole year. And then you can truly do whatever you need to. And you know, that's the book that I was mentioning, that whose title I can't remember. That's one of the strategies for like fixing the dopamine wires, where it's like, all right, you know what? It's accessibility. Sometimes you don't feel bad about needing to have an app. Don't feel bad about buying a lockbox. Like, doing the stuff that actually causes you to cut that accessibility is okay. Like, it's okay to say that you need intervention if it's on yourself.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, we all need it, because our world is shaped for addiction, truly, not just social media, all of the world.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much to be said for not like berating yourself for behaving in exactly the same way that our brains have been rewired to behave. Like,
Yeah,
and
oh my
also
gosh.
not like wasting some of the like very little mental space that we have on trying to resist an app that is literally designed for us to be addicted to it, right? Like I delete Instagram all the time, and I used to feel like, oh, I shouldn't have to delete it. I should be able to just like not open it, but I can't just not open it. I see it or I know it's on my phone, and my brain is like, ooh, like yes, that. Or like I have my personal email on my phone right now, but I kind of go back and forth with that, and I don't have any work email on my phone. Like, what is the point of that? I check it compulsively. I have like no boundaries with email unless I just like remove the access to it. I've never gotten into Strava, and I think that is largely for the best for me. Like, I was never into Daily Mile. I've had a Garmin ever since I've had a watch, and so like Garmin has sort of its own like feed of activity in their app, and I think I have like two people that I follow, and one of them is my husband. So I'm like, I know exactly what you did this morning. Like, I don't need to look at it on Garmin. But I don't know. I think it's for the best that I just like never got into that world, because for me, Instagram is already so chock full of running content. And then to go into another app that's just like more of the same, but actually like really specific with times and paces and routes, I'm like, feels like nothing good could happen there for me. And I feel like people have a lot of fun with it, and it seems really great in a lot of ways. And I just have been like, I'm just not going to open that door. If I don't open that door, then like, I think it's best for my brain.
Yeah,
I don't
Strava is
know.
very polarizing, I've found as a coach. I mean, I have a lot of people who have it, delete it, go private, for privacy, but also for competitive reasons, for pressure reasons. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I'm very like pragmatic about my training, and I get self-conscious about like the optical heart rate. It's fucked up. It doesn't work, right? But like even I'll be out there. I'm like, watch this heart rate. That's not right. And it's like I'm not running 100. Like this is not a Z4 run. I like sometimes I'll hide my heart rate because I'm like, yeah, I don't. That really was an easy run. I don't really need people judging what I'm doing right now. So, and this
The
is
fact
coming from
that
the person
people
who
even
like,
feel like entitled to do that, though, is
I
like
know.
so wild. Oh my gosh.
But like to your point, everyone has their own triggers, their own things that like things that they're worried about. And like you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, look, I'm talking about an app that blocks apps. Another thing I started doing was literally, I work at a co-work some days, and I started locking my computer in the desk at the co-work that I so I don't bring it home. Because for me, I can have email on my phone. I'm actually somehow good for the most part of like putting it down and being like, stop it. For me, it's the computer. I feel like it needs, I can't, I always need something to be done. So I've started leaving it at work.
I
It's
love that.
amazing. It's so good.
I wish I could leave my phone somewhere that someone could lock it for me and just be like, don't.
You can
Yeah,
buy a lock box.
I could get that. I do need that app. That sounds amazing. I think there's a lot to be said, especially within this community, for like locking a photo app. I would have never thought about how that sometimes sucks me in. And I mostly will do it to like look at old pictures of my kids too. But I feel like sometimes after looking at a lot of photos, like scrolling through, I don't know, whatever 4,000 plus photos I have on my phone, I feel a little bit like motion sick. Do you ever feel that way? Like after spending a lot of time on like a certain app, I feel sort of like that's not what it is because I'm sitting on a couch, but that's the feeling that it reminds me of, is a little bit of like a motion sickness. I don't know why that happens, but I love the idea of blocking a photo app and just being
That's
like,
great.
you don't need to go down these rabbit holes right now. Okay.
I'll send you a referral link.
Please.
I sent it to my therapist at one point. I was like, this
Really?
is amazing. It's annoying that it costs so much, but like truly, when you think
Yeah.
about the time that you'll
The
save,
time you get back. Yes. I
and
love that.
you think about your habits, right? Like, so I was noticing that for a while, I would put my youngest down to bed, and then I would just pop on the phone, and then before I knew it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm now however long deep into my phone, and you can set it for like blocking specific times. So like I just have it set to block right around her bedtime. And while you can actually also dictate the how hard it is. Like there's a level where you cannot get back in. There's a level where like it makes you wait longer and longer to get back in. So again, it increases the difficulty of accessibility, which is shown clinically to reduce your like it kind of catches you being like, fuck, why did I open that in the first place? Oh yeah, let me close it. My like nighttime setting is one of the easier ones I can pop in, but what it also does, you can choose how long you're in there. So I'll go in, I'll say, all right, I do want to check one or two things, given that work is kind of involved in this as well. And it'll pop me out in 5 minutes. And I love that. It doesn't just have to be social media. This could also be about exercise, like habits in general, or like whatever you want to start adopting or do differently. Like if you do need more of a structured input system to get you to do something, then that's good. You shouldn't feel bad because our brains are wired in a certain way, but you can change it. And it does take work at first, but then it becomes pretty natural over time.
Yeah, this is a judgment-free zone. We don't feel bad about anything here. No, thank you. Okay, we're
Well,
gonna.
especially social, because it's like
Oh
that.
my gosh. Yeah, especially that.
Crazy.
I wrote an essay in October about October. What am I saying? December, whatever months are months. I don't know. There was a month where I took almost a whole month. If actually, yeah, it was longer than a month, maybe 5 weeks off of Instagram, like fully off my phone. I did check it on my browser a few times because rewiring our brains is hard, but I actually felt like a different person. And I know that's a bit of a hyperbolic statement, but like I am not exaggerating. I felt like my brain was like reversed back to like before I had kids. Like just a little bit calmer, a little more patient, a little more regulated, not as irritable. And I was like, this is very interesting because my kids are still here. So it's not the kids.
Oh,
Like
yeah, the
that
days.
variable is still present.
Yeah, I definitely notice days like if I'm doing a Q&A on stories and I'm in the app just getting like answering
So
questions, even if
much.
I usually batch it, I usually wait and then I'll try to pick 10 and put them up. But even that is enough for me to be like a little irritable. But then it's also like, well, now I just know to give myself an extra 10 minutes to unwind and like detach and yeah,
We're learning about ourselves.
coping.
Okay, we're gonna take a hard turn here, a
Yeah,
hard 90
ready.
degree turn. How's your running going right now? I want to hear about it.
It's good, and I'm scared to talk about that. I was just saying this morning to a friend at the gym, I was like, I have this protective mechanism in my brain that like I am feeling lackluster about goals because things are going so well. And usually with my past, when things are going well, they then acutely stop going well. And so I have something in my brain right now where I'm like, don't believe it. But honestly, it's going really well. And I'm really happy. I was thinking on my run this weekend, I was like, I feel like a lot of the journey that I've been through has been like trusting not just myself, but trusting the run again, like trusting that running isn't going to make me sad. And it's not going to, like, it is always there for us in some capacity. I think a lot of what I've gone through, I'm now trusting running again. So it's going well. I feel great.
I love that. Tell me what feels different, if anything, in your running right now that you think is contributing to how well it's going.
I have a surgically repaired hip.
So there's that. I like
Medicine.
fixed my hip. Healthcare, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, it feels for sure there are still residual issues, largely lower limb. I think because it's not a completely new joint, but it's acting so much differently than it did for years. The lower limb is like Achilles, post hip, ankle, like that. Is the kind of figuring it out still, but like up in my hips and my core, like it feels so much better, so good. And I feel strong. I feel I have been eating. I am not doing a lot of long runs, but when I am running a little bit longer, I'm eating more than ever. And that, oh my gosh, like man, talk about the food doping. Like it is real.
Doping.
Man, and
Oh,
I get a
yeah.
David Rowe talk about food doping. And it's incredible the amount of like going through a marathon cycle and eating as much as like I did was awesome. Physical, it's also, what I'm intaking. It's a good mix of of strength work now and running. I'm working with a new lifting coach who, like, my biggest thing with lifting was integrating the two and making it work. I literally have a lifting coach who's like, it's less is more for you, not everyone. And I firmly think that a lot of runners actually do need more lifting, but because I went through a lot of lifting and I have a pretty good base already, I'm at the point where it's like less really is more. So I am lifting, but it's a lot less than a lot less volume. So yeah, it's a multifaceted rebirth.
I love that. I also feel like, at least with lifting, but like insert whatever other movement related hobby you might have, like you kind of have to decide like which one am I trying to, like am I trying to get stronger and like that's the main focus, or am I trying to run? And if I want to do both, like one of them kind of has to be a little bit ahead of the other one.
Yeah, you have to keep the goal the goal. So it's like right, coming off the marathon, the goal was to, I had some just like low level tendonitis, creaky stuff going on. And I was like, well, I'm not going to train for running. I gotta fix that stuff right now. So I was lifting three days a week, like in the gym for 60 to 90 minutes at a time. But then running was the volume and the balance of that was, dictated so that lifting was the priority. So yeah, it's important. That is something that I feel like I do a lot of educating with athletes on, where it's like, yes, you can lift and run and do all of the things, but you also do have to keep the goal the goal.
Like the primary movement that you're trying to serve, or like that if you had to choose one, it would be that thing.
Yeah, and nutrition too. I think that like there are places where like going through a period of like, emphasizing more protein in your life or like whatever that may be. I think at the end of the day, performance nutrition is a little sciencey. And so maybe it's like taking a few months to like learn about that and like fuel your body a little bit differently than you might intuitively be doing it in a marathon cycle. So like it's truly applicable from a running, lifting, and nutrition and health, psychological too. Like you might want to go through a cycle of like, I'm really going to work on my mental strength. And like that's significant too.
There's a lot of things we can be working on all the time, so like don't try to do
No.
it all. I'm so glad to hear that. That makes me really happy. I feel like because you're my coach, sometimes I'm like, I need to check in with Mary and see how her running is going, 'cause we talk about my running a lot. Dare I ask, do you have anything on the schedule or like anything you're hoping to do this spring or summer?
I had a guaranteed entry into the Brooklyn half because I had signed up last year and didn't run it. So technically, yes, here I am in my protective mechanisms. I'm like, I guess I'm
I
running the
know.
Brooklyn half.
Maybe I'm not, I'm probably not going to run it, but maybe I could. I don't know.
I am 100% signed up. And I will say that I ran a 5K a week or two ago. I had all the nerves for that. And I am actually jumping in a half this weekend because I was like, I just want to do it. This is like what I would tell an athlete. I'm going to take my own advice, jump in another race. So I'm jumping in a half this weekend for fun.
Is it in New
And
York? Are
it's
you
not,
doing
no.
an
No, I'm
Oh,
not. I know, I'm
dang.
sorry. I would have loved to. No,
Would
it's
have
in
been
New
so
Bedford,
fun.
Massachusetts. And it will be really fun. So yeah, I'm like training for the Brooklyn half. You've heard it here first. I might have been a little tipsy on a rainy day with my kids on Saturday, put myself on the waiting list for the Vermont 100K. Yeah.
Whoa. I
Hard
did not see that plot twist coming.
hard
I thought
pivot.
you were going to be like New York City Marathon or like, no,
The
100K.
100K.
What? Okay.
Yeah, so we're having some deep thought. I mean, to be fair, I don't think I'm going to get off. I'm number 45 on the waiting list, and from what I have read, it seems as though they do let people off like all the way up to like 2, 3 weeks before, and that's just not realistic. But it begs the bigger question, which is like, maybe I should just sign up for 100K because that does sound exciting to me. I know it's very weird. So TBD, I think running the Vermont race would be awesome. It's on the East Coast, it's in July. I do very well in the heat and humidity. It's not super technical, and I really want to run an ultra. But again, a waiting list isn't the best. So I think, again, maybe I'll sign up for a different ultra. I would like to run a 100K, but I also would like to break three in the marathon. So I don't know. Clearly,
Yeah,
I.
those are two different goals. Okay,
Yeah,
full
we're.
transparency, because this reminded me, I'm training for, well, I'm training for a half. It feels weird to me to say, because a half is a half to me. I feel like I really need to train for a marathon, right? But like, if I have my preferred baseline fitness, I'm able to run a half without it being like a big thing. I'm not always in that kind of shape, but like, that's where I like to be baseline, is just like 10 miles is kind of a standard long run. If I wanted to sign up for a half next weekend, I could do that, you know?
Totally.
I don't need to feel that way about marathons or ultras ever, but I like to feel that way about, like, for me, that's my preference. So I'm quote unquote training for a half, although I am trying to get faster. So in that sense, I'm training. And just for the listeners here, that reminded me when you're like, am I breaking three or am I running 100K? Which one am I doing? I said to Mary, because I just feel so unsure of whether or not I want to run another marathon. I haven't done a marathon as a parent. My last one that I ran was 2016, and I think that was my eighth or ninth marathon. I can't remember, and I don't care. But it was somewhere in that range. So, like, I ran that knowing that we were going to try to have kids soon and that that would probably be my last one for a while, but not thinking that was my last one. So I feel stuck in this, like, I don't know if I want to run another marathon or not. And you made the comment when we were talking about this that like has stuck with me and like lives rent-free in my head, that we romanticize marathons, especially on social media. Like, it's during marathon season in the fall, you just see so many people like having a great day and posting about it. And you see the bad days and you see posts about that. But it feels easy to be like, oh, I want to do that, you know, and forgetting how fucking hard it is and how time consuming it is to train for them. And so I had this idea for my late spring half, because it's at the end of May, that I would quote unquote train for a marathon, but run the half. And I had also shared with Mary that I wanted to get closer to my previous PR. And those two goals are at odds with each other. So she was like, which one do you want to do? Do you want to run faster or do you want to run longer? And I was like, oh, dang, I have to choose. Well, definitely I'm going to choose running faster then. So
Good choice. It's
yeah,
helpful
it's
to
more
run
fun.
fast. Yeah, it's helpful to run fast before you run long. And to be fair, I mean, I think a lot of the programming in the early days is pretty similar.
Yeah.
And truly, like, especially if you have a solid base and you're pretty experienced, like the race specificity doesn't really have to be until, I don't know, 8, 10 weeks out. But that also, that golden thing that I said was with a solid base and like with a solid background. And,
Right.
when you do have to take a bunch of steps back for injury, pregnancy, whatever, it's not the same base as when we were
Yeah.
in our 20s or earlier. So it does
Yeah.
differ. I know. R.I.P.
Yeah. I'm not in my 20s.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
sadly. So yeah, it does depend. But I do think it's typically always a good choice to get fast before you go long. And like truly, like the whole romanticism around a marathon is like something that I've said to my coach where I'm like, I want to break three, I want to run a marathon, but I also just like I ran a marathon in December and it was very, very hard mentally and physically. And while, yes, now I'll have a season under my belt, and historically, like I had a hard time getting through marathons without a stress fracture because something would just not work well,
Yeah.
usually pertaining to my hip. Like I kept having like referred issues. But given that now I could actually string consistency, it's an awesome feeling. And it is going to be a little bit different the next time around. Like it won't be so grueling, but it's
Yeah.
not easy. This shit's not easy, and it does take a long
Not
time. And it's
easy.
he actually just said, because I did finally disclose to him that I impulsively signed up for 100K.
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
And he said, it's less, how did he put it? Something about like it's less pointy of a preposition or proposition. And I love that because it's totally right. It's
Yeah.
like the training is totally different. It's totally new. It's not as like cutthroat and fast, even marathon training, especially if you're racing it, you do have to be pretty specific with what you're getting after. And so he was like, I understand why this was attractive to you. So yeah, personally TBD, like I think it's funny, right? Like 100K is more than a marathon, but
Well, like a
it's
lot
different.
more than
It's a lot more.
it's a lot more.
Lot more, but it's a lot, it's slower. And so that is, I'm very intrigued. Mostly
Yeah.
it's curiosity. I'm so interested to learn how to run slower, longer. I'm interested in stringing more volume together, how it feels. I'm just very interested in going through the process.
Yeah.
I have no interest in doing a 50K. I want to go right up.
That's what I'm like, why didn't we start with a 50K?
Do you know what? I never ran a half before I ran a full. And
Really?
no, I'm one of those people. I was like, well,
Yeah.
I'm just gonna sign right up. So
Well, at least you
I
didn't sign up for a 100 miler. 100K
no.
is
Just
different. Still a lot of miles.
it's a lot of miles. Yeah. So we'll see. I also in the back of my head, like I'm thinking Boston 2025. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Hell,
Yeah.
I'm even thinking about another kid. Like I don't know. I'm honestly
What?
like,
So many
yeah,
things.
I know.
Okay.
People are gonna get a really nice, realistic dose of me in this episode. Yeah, I think we're done with kids, but I'm also like, you know, watching parents get older and you're like, damn, who's going to be at your table when running is not here? It's more about relationships and the people
Yeah.
you surround yourself with. So, like, while yes, fitness is fun, I also adore my children and do think two is insane, but I've heard that adding a third is just as crazy.
Yeah, don't talk to me about that. I feel like I'm such a bad, like, most people will say going from one to two is harder than two to three. And I'm like, if you need a second opinion,
Oh
happy to offer
no.
it. Like,
You're a 2 to 3-er?
a two to three was
Oh.
much harder for us. But our second and third kids are 13 months apart. Like, that was just not
True.
easy in general. If
True.
our third kid had been born the same spacing as our first and second, I would probably have a really different perspective on that. So again,
True.
I'm not the right person. I feel
It's
like I'm
true.
not a good person to talk to about that. But
That's fair. I was gonna say. I was
it's
gonna say you could
fun.
dissuade me. I'm
Yeah.
my
No,
answer.
I'm not here to dissuade. I feel like our little crew of three, as completely chaotic as it is literally all the time, it's really fun to like watch all of them together and to have like a little, say, like a little team, you know, like they outnumber us, so they're having a great time. It's
Yeah. I only have one brother and he's older. And I think I just
great.
always grew up wondering what it would be like with kids that were close in age. So,
Yeah.
yes, well, if we had a third one, it would be a larger gap. It wouldn't, I think it would end up being 4 years, which is
Yeah.
bigger than what we have. But I don't
Yeah.
know. There's no perfect way to do it. And
There is no perfect way to do it.
yeah, I don't know. Let me put it this way. I truly would be happy with what
Yeah.
we have. I also am curious. Like, I feel like most of my mindset right now is just based on curiosity and just also
Yeah.
just truly watching like aging parents and being like, damn, like we're just getting older. Like
Yeah.
life is about what you want it to be about. But I think relationships is the big one. You know, you hear people, their dying words are like, I wish I worked less. I wish I spent more time with my family. And like, as somebody who genuinely loves to work and I love to run and train, I also like, I hear things like that and I'm like, yeah, I should probably listen to that. And just thinking about how life-changing my children have made me, like that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like I went into
Yeah.
motherhood being unsure if it was right for me and like, you know, spoiler, it completely changed everything about
Yeah.
me. How I look at myself and how I do life in the best way possible. So, right, like I think even as we get older, like we can surprise ourselves in how we want to live, and that goes for the family stuff. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I really don't like being pregnant. You know this,
I know.
but they're worth it. They're very cute.
I love that sentiment that we're maybe going to wrap up on. I feel like a few of the people who are like near and dear to me, like close friends, people I really admire, have kind of expressed this sentiment in the last couple of years. Just be willing to surprise yourself. Like, be willing to change your mind about something, be willing to shift in what you thought you wanted. Like, you know, when I was immediately postpartum with Casey, I had a registration for Marine Corps Marathon. And I was like, I'm doing it. Like, I'm a marathoner. That's what I do. Like, it's 10 months from now. I've got all the time in the world. And like, people do it all the time. We see people run marathons 1 year postpartum all the time. Just changed my mind about it. Wasn't interested. And it's surprising to me that I haven't run one since, but that's like a very, very small example of things that we can surprise ourselves with. But I love that sentiment. Okay. Last lap, we're going to wrap this up. We told ourselves we're not going to
We
do this for
said,
2 hours.
and we've gotten quite deep. This, like,
This is what we
shared
do.
a
And then
lot.
we just go and go and go. Okay, last lap. If you could
Okay.
have one song played along the course during the final mile or lap of a race, what do you pick?
I think that I get thrown off here with the final mile, because like
Okay,
that to me,
that's
final.
like a couple of songs. All right,
Other.
Alexis, we're editing this. What's your go-to running song?
I have to say, I love Big Booty. Like, I love doing
Okay.
workouts to the Big Booty mixes, like all day. God, when I was in college, this whole conversation. When I was in college, Girl Talk came to my
I love
college.
Girl Talk.
Oh my
I
God,
love Girl
I was
Talk. Yes.
like, I was sweating because I danced so, not because I was so messed up on like alcohol. I was sweating because I danced so hard and had
So
so much fun.
hard.
I love
Yeah.
remixes. It's
Went all in.
the ADHD. It's like our brains love this like constant changing. I love it.
Yes. I didn't even know about Girl Talk until like 2013, 2014. And I used to run to a mix, and I don't know what I did with that on Spotify, but I need to resurrect it. We're thinking that we're gonna eventually, and probably like very soon, put together a like Lane Nine running playlist of people's answers to this question. So stay tuned. It'll
Girl Talk,
be
or well,
in.
they're like hours long.
Yeah, they're one song from Mary is the whole playlist. Great. Thanks,
There is
Mary.
actually an artist. This is super random. I found this randomly on Spotify. The artist is named Milkman, and
Okay.
they have a great remix, like starts with Owl City. And I thought I was the only one who had found this. And everyone knows who Jess Tawn is now, or Jess, shoot, I forget her married
McLean.
name. Yes. Just on that, that's very catchy too. It's like a remixy, and I messaged her. I was like, Jess, oh my God, somebody else knows this song. It's a great
Like
song.
same. We're
Yeah,
same.
we're the same. I can go to the
Do
Olympics.
you prefer group runs, solo runs, friend runs? Or all of the above.
I think friend runs, but I also hate commitments. So, like, as in case you couldn't tell from this conversation, so I like having the flexibility to feel out how I'm doing, and if I just get out. So I like the flexibility of that. However, whenever I run with a friend, it just whizzes by. So I
Yeah.
think that's just the best thing ever.
What item should running brand or item should sponsor you because you're constantly singing their praises? But I feel like Oral at Opal, not Oral, Opal app
Opal.
might be that thing for this
Yeah.
conversation.
Yeah, that's fair. This is a hard one. I think Opal
Yeah,
could maybe sponsor me.
it's great.
Sure, we'll stick with that.
We're manifesting that for you. Opal, hello. Mary would love to be your sponsor or sponsored by you. But I
Funny.
also was kind of thinking, like, as we were getting started, I'm like, that's a hard question for Mary because she actually has a lot of brand sponsorships. So, like, how do you just pick
Very
one
lucky.
and like pick one outside of what you're already working with? But we're going to add Opal to your list. Okay. What's a real running moment recently that you feel really proud of or that stands out to you for any reason?
I think going through the whole surgery process of, like, I mean, it is a
Yeah.
process of like getting it and the rehab and not knowing in the moment, but like how much different my mindset would shift. Like, I think for many years, like my identity was truly, I must break free. Like, it was all I really wanted. And for sure, I want it. And I do
Yeah.
think deep in my belly, I'm like, I know that goal is there for me. I can do
Yeah.
it. And it's very important to me. I want to do it before I die, typical, but it is not my identity anymore. And like, I think like going through surgery and then finally doing CIM and truly believing going into that race that like the time didn't matter. And like, while yes, it was like truly golden day, like could not have been better.
Yeah.
That mindset shift of like going into it being like, you just have to go do it, like get the monkey off your back, go enjoy it and prove that you can do it again. Truly believing that, not just saying it. Because I
Yeah.
remember having a conversation with my coach, you know, gosh, maybe August leading into the race. And I was like, this is truly my second first marathon. Like, how lucky am I that I get to have a first marathon again? And he was like, it's one thing to say that, it's another thing to believe it. And I don't think he believed that I actually thought that, but through the course of the fall, I really was like, it is, I don't care. Yes, of course, I have
Yeah.
dreams of running XYZ time, but like, it doesn't fucking matter. Just go do it. And
Yeah.
that shift has manifested itself even now, because I'm like, I'm just enjoying it. That's like when you ask how training's going, I'm like, it's just so fun
So
because like
good.
I'm having so much fun. I can finally do it again. And that's
Yeah.
like, unfortunately, had to go through having it taken all away. But what I have been gifted with as a result of that experience has been so much greater than I could have imagined.
Yeah. And it's a long process. Like, that was not an easy go around. Surgery, rehab, PT. Like, your dedication to PT, from what I can see on social media and
Love
in
PT.
conversation with you, it's a lot. I mean, it's so hard to keep up with that month after month after month. That is no small thing, even though they seem like little small things you have to do every day. But like, to remind yourself and like stay consistent with it is really tough. So, yeah.
It was a lot of PT, but it's fun and it's training and
Yeah.
it truly the embodiment of keeping the goal the goal. Like I have been asked on social media, like, how did you stay so fit? I'm like, I didn't stay fit. Like it was completely different, but that was my
Yeah.
goal. My goal was to heal. And there we go again. Social media made it look like, oh, the strength is always there, the speed's always there. It's not. The goal was like to heal again.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of uncomfortable parts of that too, right? Like you're out of your routine. Physically, my clothes didn't fit. I didn't
Yeah.
feel right in my body because I wasn't doing my normal things. Like I had to structure things differently because I had to show up at a PTO. I couldn't just pop out the door and go for a run. So there's so many things
Yeah.
that revolved around that like you but that was the mission. The mission was to heal and the mission was to like feel your best. And running might not be part of it. Like that was the other part. Like it
Yeah.
truly just I had to come to terms with running maybe not being back. And like that was okay. That like I had to The surgery was
Yeah.
for quality of life. It was not for running. And luckily, again, all the running that's been a product now is just a gift. I think just keeping the goal is ultimately what each season needs to like. It's easier said than done, but it's important to
Yeah.
remember.
Yeah. All right, friends. We gotta go. We gotta go get our
I
runs
know.
in. Thanks for chatting with me. It was a
Nice to.
delight.
Yeah, you too. Nice to see you.
Tell people where they can find you on the internet.
I am, it's a marathon on Instagram. The coaching side of things is Lift to Run Perform. So our site is a bit outdated. We're working on that. It's liftrunperform.com or Lift to Run Perform on Instagram.
All right, and we are at Lane 9 Project and lane9project.org. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.